atrocities against Palestinians, saying the situation in the region might quickly get out of control. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Good to have you with us. More bloodshed in Gaza. At least 200 Palestinians have been killed in an Israeli airstrike on the Jabalia refugee camp. This while the regime is going on with its atrocities in the Gaza Strip for the 25th day. Interior Ministry in Gaza is saying that the refugee camp has been completely destroyed by Israeli bombardment. Six U.S.-made bombs were used on the district. No exact number of casualties or those injured, but hundreds are being brought to nearby hospitals. Over 1,000 people are estimated to be stuck under the rubble. Meanwhile, eyewitnesses pointing to the use of internationally banned white phosphorus bombs in the attack. Since October 7th, Israeli attacks on Gaza have claimed the lives of more than 8,500 people, including 3,500 children. The military wing of the Hamas resistance movement, the Al-Qassam Brigades, has released footage showing clashes between its fighters and Israeli troops who have entered the northern part of the Gaza Strip. The brigade says its forces are engaged in fierce clashes with the regime forces in different areas. The resistance movement says its fighters have fired rockets at the regime's military vehicles, destroying several of them. They've also targeted two Israeli settlements and a military outpost with mortars. Islamic Jihad has also dismissed Israeli claims about making major advances in its ground invasion of Gaza. The movement says that Israel is deliberately misleading information about its attempts to penetrate into the besieged Palestinian territory. As we've been reporting over the past weeks, Gaza is suffering from a dire humanitarian crisis under Israeli attacks. The situation, in the words of the International Committee Red Cross, is worsening by the hour amid Israel's full blockade of the Strip, and a handful of aid trucks allowed into Gaza through the Egypt border are nowhere near sufficient, as attested by the UN agency for Palestinian refugees.
The system in place to allow aid into Gaza is geared to fail unless there is political will to make the flow of supplies meaningful, matching the unprecedented humanitarian needs.
Now, in his address to the UN Security Council, the Honorable Chief warned that basic services are crumbling while medicine, food, water, and fuel are running out in Gaza. He added that nowhere is safe from Israeli bombardment, not even the south, where the regime has been pushing the people to go to. The UN commissioner said that even churches, mosques, hospitals, and UNRWA facilities sheltering displaced people have not been spared. Lazzarini called on the UN Security Council to demand an immediate humanitarian ceasefire, which it described as a matter of life and death for millions. The Israeli military has raised the house of the deputy political bureau chief the Hamas resistance movement in a village near the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah. The house was demolished in a raid on that village. Our correspondent, Mona Kandil, has the details.
We are speaking about the senior Hamas official, Saleh Al-Arouri. He's the deputy leader of Hamas and founding member of its armed wing here in the occupied West Bank, and he's based in Lebanon. This morning, the Israeli forces raided the village of Arura near Ramallah and surrounded the house of Saleh Al-Arouri. However, this house had been vacant for several years, and they bombed the house, destroyed it, and caused severe damage to the nearby buildings, the neighbors' buildings and homes as well. These two weeks ago, the Israelis had already raided Arura, and exchange of fire had erupted. The Israeli soldiers had arrested a number of Palestinians. But this morning, before the Israeli forces raided the village of Arura, they dropped leaflets in the village of Arura and the nearby villages, warning the residents of the village and the nearby villages. Speaking about the Israeli aggression as well, Also today, the Israeli forces have raided several areas in the occupied West Bank, not only Arura, and arrested, according to the Palestinian Prisoners Society Group, the Israeli troops have arrested at least 38 people from across the occupied West Bank.
Now, the Yemeni army says it's fired a large barrage of missiles and drones into Israel in a series of operations. Yemeni Armed Forces spokesman said that the attacks came in support of the oppressed Palestinians in Gaza. Yahya Sarih added that the operations will continue until Israel's brutal aggression in the blockaded strip stops. He also reaffirmed Yemen's unwavering support for Palestinians and their legitimate right to self-defense. A senior Hamas official says that Israel's Gaza operation would certainly prove a failure, vowing that resistance fighters in Gaza are well prepared to confront the regime's war machine.
I think that the Qassam Brigades is highly prepared and qualified, and I think we understand how can we resist them, how can we stop them. We succeeded now to destroy some tanks on Gaza and to even to kill some soldiers inside Gaza. I think we will do everything in order to stop them. It will be very hard confrontation. It will not be easy because they have tanks, they have all airstrikes, and also from the sea, from everywhere, they try to target Gaza from different sides. It will be very hard confrontation. But we believe that the Qassam Brigades will do the best in order to stop them.
Now, Ghazi Hamad, a member of Hamas decision-making political bureau, made those comments in a live interview with Press TV. He said that Palestinians will never surrender to occupation. They will continue to fight for their rights. Hamad said the Zionist entity is a cancerous tumor that should be eradicated. Also, he rejected Western allegations that Hamas has targeted unarmed people in Al-Aqsa flood operation.
We have had no intention, no decision to target the civilians. That I think that we have two purposes. First of all, to destroy the military image of Israel. I think now all of them, they are shocked that smaller groups, about just maybe 1,000 fighters from the Qassam Brigades, succeeded in six minutes only, that now to destroy all the military sites along 45 kilometers.
Now, he has stressed that Hamas is ready to release captives in exchange for Palestinians held behind bars. The Hamas official said it's a shame that the Zionist entity's flag is still hoisted in certain Arab states. Hamad also slammed the U.S. support for Israel, saying that Washington is complicit in the genocide being committed by the Zionist enemy against Palestinians. Iran's foreign minister has warned the U.S. and the Israeli regime against further continuation of atrocities against Palestinians, saying that the situation in the region might get out of control quickly. Speaking in a meeting with Qatari Emir Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, Hossein Amir Abdullahian said that resistance groups in the region won't remain silent in the face of constant Israeli atrocities and all-out U.S. support for the regime. Amir Abdullahian said that the last political chances to stop the war must be taken seriously. The official pointed that the continuation of the Israeli aggression and total blockade imposed on Gaza has already led to clashes in other parts of the region. He said if the situation gets out of control, all parties will be impacted by the consequences. The Qatari Emir also said his country will keep up efforts to help put an end to the Israeli bombardments. He said that the Israeli atrocities are unacceptable to the whole world, citing massive popular pro-Palestine rallies across the planet. The spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry also told the media there is a need for immediate ceasefire in Palestine.
The point on the which is immediately on the agenda of Iran and Qatar is establishment of a ceasefire and the termination of criminal attacks by the Zionist regime against Gaza, and that the attacks must come to a halt as soon as possible. And also the tyrannical siege must be terminated, and a crossing point must be established for the transfer of humanitarian aid. This is a point agreed upon by the two countries.
Now, the spokesman said that Hamas is ready for talks on the release of non-military captives, but Israel has failed to stop its bombardments to allow this to happen. Kanani said that the explosion of the situation is in nobody's interests. He warned that the U.S. are not to sacrifice its interests for Israel. Now from Khan Yunus, Ashraf Shannon, our correspondent, is standing by. Okay, Ashraf, tell us what's been going on there. We haven't talked for at least an hour.
Well, Behrouz, Hamas's military wing, the Din Qassam Brigades, has confirmed killing at least 8 Israeli soldiers who were part of the tanks that came into the northern part of Gaza City. And they've also said that 6 APCs, armored personnel carriers, also destroyed using homemade rockets that were fired by Hamas fighters in the east of Al-Burej refugee camp in central Gaza. This, while the number of fatalities from the Jabalia refugee camp continue to rise. So far, the Ministry of Health has not given the exact number, but there are at least 250 victims who lost their lives in that one of the worst attacks against Palestinians in more than 7 decades. Al-Shati, Jabalia refugee camp is the size of the Jabalia refugee camp is 1.4 kilometers. That's about 1 mile, I think. And it houses 160,000 people. So you can imagine what a grenade would do in a place like that. Mm-hmm. And nonetheless, having bombs, carpet bombing that place with hundreds of rockets and bombs, and all the purpose, according to the Israeli military, is to kill a wanted Palestinian resistance fighter. So to assassinate one Palestinian resistance fighter, they basically or literally killed 1,000 people, most of them children and women. When I say 1,000, because when you have 150 fatalities, you're talking about at least 1,000 injuries. And out of those 1,000 injuries, maybe half of them will die because there isn't any antibiotics in Gaza for the hospitals. And hospitals are not able to treat the wounded because of the large volume and the absence of any type of surgical supplies or surgery theaters. The Indonesian hospital in northern Gaza, where most of the casualties were taken to, announced that as of tomorrow evening they will stop working because there will not be a drop of fuel left for the backup generators barrels.
Okay. Moving now with the rest of our newscast, people from all walks of life continue pro-Palestine rallies across the globe, demanding an end to the Israeli bloodshed in Gaza. Hundreds of children in the Ladakh Union territory in northern India have thronged the streets to condemn the Israeli regime genocide and killing of children in Gaza. And in the German capital Berlin, protesters waved Palestinian flags, calling for an immediate end to the Israeli onslaught against civilians in Gaza. In Canada, thousands flooded the streets of Toronto to demand a halt to the Western funding of Tel Aviv. They also called for an end to the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Similar events were held in other cities around the world, including in Madrid, Beirut, and Islamabad. Demonstrators say that Western governments are complicit in Israel's war crimes in Gaza. Pro-Palestine rallies have been held almost on a daily basis since Israel has started its onslaught on Gaza. The demonstrations are being held despite bans on such protests in several European countries.
For the third Saturday in a row, pro-Palestine demonstrators packing the streets of central London to condemn the UK government's unequivocal support for Israel.
our government is cheering this on and it's supporting Israel to carry on with the massacre in Gaza. So we want to try and stop that.
I'm so ashamed of our government that they are sanctioning what I think is just collective murder. And it really, really has got to stop. It's awful.
They should be listening to the protesters and demanding that there's an immediate and complete ceasefire, that humanitarian aid is allowed through.
From Madrid to Milan and beyond, even in Germany, home to one of the largest Muslim communities in the EU, where such protests have been restricted over what was described as anti-Semitism concerns.
Despite government attempts to delegitimize it, support for Palestinians is on the rise, with hundreds of thousands of people taking to the streets of central London today to raise awareness of what's happening in Gaza and to express solidarity with the Palestinians.
Public pressure seems to be working. London's Labour mayor has become the latest politician to call for a ceasefire, breaking ranks with his party's leader, Keir Starmer, who said Israel reserved the right to cut all supplies to Gaza. 250 high-ranking lawyers have written an open letter to the government urging it to stop arming Israel.
And they are paying the taxes to kill our brothers, so it's unfair. It's completely unfair.
It should stop. We want ceasefire. We want talking, negotiating, but giving Palestine what it deserves, having been bullied for 50, 60, 70 years.
As the war on Gaza rages on, there is no sign of the emotions letting up or the demands that so many here are making for their leaders to find a political solution to the crisis. Said Poriza, London.
Thousands gathered in the Pakistani capital Islamabad for a massive rally in support of Palestine. All Islamic communities, including Shia and Sunni, came together to voice their strong condemnation of Israel's atrocities in Gaza. Pakistan's religio-political party Jamaat-e-Islami hosted Gaza Million March just a few miles away from the U.S. consulate in Islamabad to condemn Washington's role in supporting Israel's crimes.
Israel is brutally attacking the innocent people. Israel is brutally attacking with phosphorus bombs on the hospitals. And every day they kill 500, 600, even 1,000 children and kids and women and civilians. So there is no justification of such a genocide.
Similar rallies were held in other cities where people voiced their anger on what they call the criminal silence of the world on Israeli bombardment in Gaza that has killed thousands of men, women, and children in recent weeks. The protesters demanded that legal proceedings be launched against Israel in the International Court of Justice for its ongoing crimes against humanity. The protesters also called on the people of Pakistan to boycott pro-Israeli companies and make donations to the people of Palestine.
The continuous presence of Pakistani citizens at pro-Palestine rallies indicates their steadfast commitment to the Palestinian cause and their strong objection to the actions of the U.S. and its NATO allies who are supporting Israel's deadly strikes on Gaza. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Around 5,000 American military forces have been engaged in the ground operation the Zionist regime launched in Gaza on Friday, October 28. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Tasnim News Agency wrote, security sources told Tasnim that the Zionist regime's ground onslaught against the Gaza Strip involved three divisions and several brigades. The sources have also pointed to the participation of some 5,000 U.S. military forces in the Zionist regime invasion of Gaza. Tasnim had reported earlier that the American military commanders have practically taken charge of the situation in the Zionist regime army as the Zionist forces suffered a crushing defeat in the Al-Aqsa storm operation, and the Zionist regime leaders have lost trust in the management, abilities, and loyalty of a number of army personnel. As the Gaza Strip came under the heaviest bombardment since the Zionists waged a brutal war 22 days ago, the Zionist regime army made an attempt to enter the Gaza Strip from several areas, including Beraj, Beit Hanun, Beit Lahia, and north of Khan Yunis. The purpose of the Zionist regime army advance on those regions is to split the Gaza Strip into two or three sections and cut off the connection among the Palestinian resistance forces before launching the next stage of the war. The Zionist regime had put the same plan into practice in 2014, which had ended in failure. Every time the Zionist regime launches a land invasion of Gaza, its officials claim that the main operation has not started yet, describing the latest attack as being limited in scope or an extension of a previous operation. The Zionists have planned a propaganda campaign to whitewash the failure of ground invasion of Gaza and suffer less humiliation. The Zionist regime's bombardment of Gaza intensified after the military said it was expanding operations into the territory. The Hamas resistance movement says its fighters confronted the Zionist troops in various locations on Friday, October 28. More than 1 million Palestinian children and their parents are living through pure horror in the besieged enclave. Humanitarian group Save the Children said at least 7,326 Palestinians have been killed in the Zionist regime attacks on Gaza since October 7th. Meanwhile, Fars News Agency wrote, Commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps IRGC, Major General Hossein Salami warned the Zionist regime against conducting a land incursion of the Gaza Strip, saying the Zionist regime troops will be wiped out if they choose to fight on the ground. Addressing a conference in western city of Khorramabad recently, Major General Salami warned the Zionist regime that if it decides to enter the Gaza Strip, the resistance front will turn the besieged territory into a graveyard of the Zionist regime troops. The IRGC chief said the Israelis have been defeated in all ground operations so far, adding, "The Zionists are incapable of fighting against Hamas. The land is the strong point of Hamas." He warned the Zionist regime that would be swallowed and buried if it opts for a ground invasion of the Gaza Strip. The top general stressed that the insane reactions from the Zionist regime and its sponsors to the exceptional, unexpected and surprising October 7 military operation reveal that the Zionist regime is confused and baffled and has lost its mental balance. He stated, "Today Israel is the scene of unrest and terrible nightmares. The European officials go there, Tel Aviv, every day to give them, the Zionists, artificial respiration and think how to make up for that heavy defeat." Denouncing the US, the UK, Germany and other sponsors of the Zionist regime for joining hands to kill the Palestinian children, the senior commander reminded them that Gaza will stand strongly while the enemies will have to leave the region, humiliatingly just like they did in previous wars. His remarks came as IDF spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari has told reporters that Israeli ground troops will expand their military operations in Gaza. The Zionist regime troops have conducted several limited raids into the besieged enclave over the last days, but no major assault has been announced. As the Zionist regime has conducted heavy artillery and air strikes against the besieged territory, Gaza is approaching a near-total internet blackout as the region suffered its worst loss in connectivity. Fighting first broke out in early October on Saturday. Several United Nations agencies have also reported losing contact with the Gazan staff amid severe communications interruptions. Iranian officials say the current status in the West Asia region resembled a powder keg which could spiral out of control. They caution that if diplomatic efforts to stop Zionist regime relentless bombardment and prevent a ground offensive on Gaza are unsuccessful, there is a risk of the conflict escalating uncontrollably with multiple regional players joining the fight. On October 7th, Hamas launched a multi-pronged surprise military operation via land, sea and air. The group announced it was in response to the storming of Al-Aqsa Mosque in occupied East Al-Quds and the Zionist settlers' growing violence against Palestinians. The attacks have so far killed more than 1,400 and injured over 5,000, according to Israeli regime officials. Hamas also announced it is holding between at least 200 and 250 hostages. Following the multi-front attacks by Hamas, the fabricated regime of Israel carried out heavy bombardment across the Gaza Strip, killing more than 7,700 Palestinians, including at least 3,100 children and over 1,700 women, and wounding over 18,000 others and leveling entire neighborhoods. Tel Aviv has ordered a complete siege on Gaza, saying it would halt its supply of electricity, food, water, and fuel. The Zionist regime's military has also ordered 1.1 million people living in northern Gaza to evacuate their homes amid signs it is set to ramp up its offensive. The bombing, as well as enforced displacement orders by the Zionist regime army, has pushed 1.5 million people out of their homes.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of RIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani. He's going to talk about Palestinian resistance and the brutal attack of Israel on Gaza Strip.
In this khutbah, I want to take some time to discuss some of the lessons and a little bit of inspiration from what you are seeing from the Palestinian people, the civilians, and individuals who really have nowhere to go. And some of the other lessons that we can learn as well. So I'll start with a couple lessons. So first of those lessons is this. And I think this is something that I think this issue has made it even more clear to us. And that is the fact that you can have politicians who look very presentable, who have very firm handshakes, who have the most well-looking suits, who speak of the highest values and morals. But in reality, they don't live up to those morals, to those values. And this is something that you and I have to teach our children, because this is the world that our children are growing up in. You know, one of the things that convenience, ease, one of the things that privilege does to the human being is that it makes the human being indifferent and a little bit naive. This is what happens when you're growing up in a part of the world where life is very convenient, and we are blessed through that convenience. There's no doubt about that. Yes? If you live in this part of the world, or in many other parts of the world as well at this point, there's convenience that comes with life. That convenience that comes with life many times gives you the feeling, and by extension our children, the feeling that this is how life is. This is what life is supposed to be like. And in reality, life is not like that for many people out there. And we don't want our children to grow up naive and not understanding how politicians will change their words, how politicians will play nations many times, how politicians will do whatever they like, as long as they have a smile on their face, and as long as they show up on shows on TV, that then they assume that the public and you and I are unaware of what they're doing in reality. This is one of the biggest lessons of what we are witnessing during these days. Lesson number two, the power of media, the labeling, the gaslighting that's happening, yes? That a politician will look you straight in the eye and you tell him there's civilians dying. And he says, what civilians? Which civilians are you talking about? What international law are you talking about? When did we ever go against international law? But no, I saw the evidence myself. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, this is what they call gaslighting. This is what they call denying clear facts to such an extent where sometimes you sit back and say, well, maybe I'm the one who's not thinking properly. Maybe I'm the one who doesn't understand what's happening. Yes? Maybe I'm the one who's got everything wrong because it doesn't add up. Yes, that's the power of media, brothers and sisters. Power of media. Inshallah, in the future, we're going to talk about media a lot more for certain reasons. I don't want to touch on it right now. These are some of the lessons. There's more lessons. I'll get to those lessons later on. I don't want to get into it right now. Inspiration. Some of those moments of inspiration. Yes? The patience of a people. This is unbelievable. This is something we've never seen. And there are major lessons in it for you and I. I mean, how can a father or a mother hold their own child in their arms, yes? And at the same time, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise God. And be patient with what's happening with them. And understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, these are things that we read of in books. These are things we read of in hadith. This is things we read of in theory. And you see it playing out with civilians in practice. This is unbelievable. And it puts into perspective, by extension, the difficulties that you and I go through We have difficulties. There's no doubt about that. Yes, life comes with many difficulties, yes? But then you put your difficulty alongside the difficulty of this person. And you see that your difficulty really is nothing even to be, you know, compared to this difficulty. It's not to dismiss your difficulty. Your difficulty is there too. My difficulty is there too. Yes? But it helps the human being to be so much more patient, because now I understand what a problem really is. Now I understand what a headache really is. Yes? These are the lessons that can be learned. You see this with the civilians. Of the inspirational things that you see, of course, it's, you know, covered in genocide. It's covered in crimes that are happening. Yes? But if you look deeper, you see this inspiration. You see these paramedics, the rescuers. Imagine if you're put into this area and they tell you, listen, we're just going to bomb and you just have to go and pull out bodies. Pull out this body and pull out that body and pull out this body. And after the fifth time, after the sixth time, after the tenth time, you're going to give up. After the 15th time, you're going to be saying, enough is enough. What's the point? What am I even doing anymore? And you know, many of these paramedics and rescuers at this point, they know they're doing this, a lot of it, for history. They're doing a lot of it because they know that these moments are critical moments. Like, the world's not going to forget the massacre of a whole people. I mean, we can talk about politics and so on and so forth, but this is beyond politics. This is a whole people who are being held accountable, who are being, you know, punished for something that they had nothing to do with. Yes, this is the inspiration that you see these paramedics. I was on social media, I saw this clip where many of these paramedics, when they visited homes that have been bombed, you see that they have brought with them money. Their pockets are full of money, but this is not their own money. So when they visit the homes to pull out the bodies, if there is money, because there's an explosion, everything in the house is all over the place, yes? They take the money and they give it to the family that was rescued, or whoever has been rescued from the, you know, the from that building. They don't even take walk away with that money. Now many of them are hungry and thirsty themselves. Yes, this is inspiration. This is you and I. And you and I assume we sacrifice for God, right? We do. I speak for you guys. You guys do, of course. But when you compare it to what they go through, what sacrifice are we doing? How are we, you know, the sacrifices we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We give from our wealth, we give from our time, we give from our energy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, inshallah. This is sacrifice. This is on a different level. The hard work of journalists. Yes, many of them are not even affiliated with any, you know, agency. But you see, they document what's happening because they know that this is a critical moment. They know this is a turning moment. They know that things are going to shift moving forward. And they know the narrative is also changing. I mentioned this 3 weeks in a row. It's changing. It's changing slow. Very slow. A lot slower than it should. But it's changing. So you see this person still documenting. Still when his own house is bombed and his own family he loses. Still continuing to do what he feels like is the only way he can protect the civilians that are around him. Protect them now, protect their future generations and their history as well. These are inspirational, you know. Yesterday there was another journalist. His family, the house of his family was bombed. He returned back to continue with his journalism 24 hours later. Why? He himself did Salatul Janaza on his wife, his son, and his daughter. And he came back to do the journalism. Why? Because he said, these are moments, I have to document these moments. These are moments, I can't be the one sitting, you know, on the sidelines and saying, well, I have to take my loss. These are inspirational. The work of, and this is the last one that I want to point out, the work of these surgeons and the medical staff. Yes, when you are told to evacuate the hospital multiple times. And the surgeon who, some of them, otherwise can be living wonderful lives. But this person decides to stay in the hospital and continue to help civilians who are wounded. What's more inspirational than that? You know, it's one thing in Islam, and in any faith for that matter, even in the Jewish faith, even in the Christian faith. It's one thing to help people. It's another thing to help people who have nowhere else to go. It's another thing to help people who are hopeless, who have no other option, who are muhtarra. Yes? One of those surgeons you saw, it was on CNN yesterday or the day before. His name is Ghassan Abu Sita. Yes, you should look him up. This is a multiple award-winning plastic surgeon. Yes? Who is in one of the hospitals. I believe it's Ash-Shifa Hospital, but I could be wrong. They have him on different news channels and so on and so forth. This is a person who lives in Britain. And if he wanted to, he could just live there and not care at all. Yes, but his humanitarian aid and his humanitarian work is something that is extremely, you know, inspirational when his life is in danger. So this is all lessons that, of course, doesn't take away from the bitterness of the massacres that we are seeing, no doubt about it. But I wanted to address this issue from that angle as well, because in the midst of all of this ugliness and this massacre that we are witnessing, there are these moments of sacrifice that will remain in history and that you and I have to learn from when it comes to aiding civilians who are completely caught up in this massacre that is taking place.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free. All this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
The Islamic Republic of Iran and Qatar have called for an immediate end to Israel's savage aggression against the Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian and his Qatari counterpart Foreign Minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman bin Jassim Al Thani have called for an immediate end to the Israeli regime's war of aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip. The Iranian Foreign Minister Amir Abdullahian and his Qatari counterpart Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman bin Jassim Al Thani made the remark in a phone conversation on Sunday, 29th of October. The two top diplomats discussed the latest developments relating to Palestine and the ongoing Israeli war against the Gaza Strip. The foreign ministers underlined the need for an immediate halt to Israel's indiscriminate airstrikes against the blockaded Palestinian territory. They also urged uninterrupted supply of humanitarian aid for the people of Gaza. Earlier the same day, Hossein Amir Abdullahian had a phone call with his Saudi counterpart, Prince Faisal bin Farhan. During that telephone conversation, both sides called for collective regional and international action to immediately end Israel's attacks on the Palestinian civilian population of Gaza. The two foreign ministers emphasized that Gaza is in dire need of constant humanitarian aid and that the forced displacement of Palestinians by Israel needs to be countered. The Israeli regime has been waging a brutal war against Gaza since 7th of October, when the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas and its fellow Gaza-based resistance movement, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad Group, launched their biggest operation against the occupying regime in years. The surprise Palestinian offensive, dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, came in response to the Israeli regime's intensified crimes against Palestinians. The death toll in Gaza since the start of the Israeli aggression has exceeded 8,000, 70% of which includes women and children. Despite the unconscionable death toll, on the 23rd day of the war in Gaza, the Israeli regime declared that the war has entered a new phase, following which it intensified its air, sea and ground attacks on the Gaza Strip. The United Nations General Assembly has called for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, with 120 member states voting for a resolution for an immediate ceasefire. The Israeli regime, however, has rejected that call. Meanwhile, Iranian President Said Ebrahim Raisi has hailed the recent condemnation of the Israeli regime's crimes against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip by the United Nations General Assembly, describing it as an important achievement. The positive vote of most member countries of the United Nations General Assembly in condemnation of the Zionist regime's crimes against Palestinians in Gaza, despite all the threats and promises posed by the global arrogant system, was an important achievement, the Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi said whilst addressing a cabinet session on Sunday, 29th of October. On Friday, 27th of October, the United Nations General Assembly overwhelmingly passed a resolution calling for the implementation of an immediate humanitarian truce in the Gaza Strip, which has been under a relentless and devastating war by the Israeli regime for the past 3 weeks. The UN General Assembly voted in favour of the resolution that had been drafted by Arab countries with 120 votes in favour, 45 abstentions and 14 votes against. Both the Israeli regime and the United States of America voted against the resolution. The vote at the United Nations General Assembly came after the United Nations Security Council failed 4 times in the past 2 weeks to take action because of the United States' recurrently casting its veto against relevant resolutions. Elsewhere in his remarks, the Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi stressed that all Muslims and free peoples of the world support the oppressed people of Palestine. Holding a summit meeting of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, is another step towards stopping the Zionist regime's crimes, which must continue until a final result is obtained, President Raisi emphasized. He noted that although Israel's war machine, under political, media and security management of the United States, is struggling to reclaim the regime's lost prestige, Palestinian resistance fighters and the resistance front are having the upper hand on the battlefield. The Iranian President, Ebrahim Raisi, said, "The recent move by the Zionist regime to infiltrate Gaza has so far failed and inflicted heavy casualties on the Israeli military, and according to resistance leaders, the assessment, if the move continues, Gaza will undoubtedly turn into a quagmire for the Israeli military." Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Israeli regime has intensified its bombardment of the besieged Gaza Strip as internet and mobile communication services collapsed in the Palestinian territory. An extended series of large explosions lit up the sky over Gaza City after nightfall on Friday, 27th of October, and an Al Jazeera correspondent said Northern Gaza Strip was being pounded by incessant Israeli air raids and artillery fire. The Palestine Red Crescent Society said it had completely lost contact with its operations room in Gaza Strip and all of its teams operating on the ground in Gaza. The Israeli military spokesman Daniel Hagari said Israel has increased its air raids in a very significant way and that ground forces were expanding their activities in the Gaza Strip. The Israeli military spokesman told residents of Gaza City to move to southern Gaza on Friday night, as the Israeli regime is escalating its aerial bombardment of northern Gaza. In the last 2 hours, we could hear intensive airstrikes and intensive artillery shells at the same time, which is something unusual, which means the strength of the fire is much more than in the previous days, according to the Al Jazeera correspondent Safat Kahlout, reporting from Gaza City. Kahlout said, "Today is the worst in terms of the strength of the Israeli fire, and we can hear some explosions coming from the sea as well, specifically in the northern Gaza Strip. The airstrikes and the artillery shells are intensifying now, particularly in northern Gaza." The Palestinian telecommunication company Jawal said in a social media post late on Friday that mobile phone and internet services in Gaza have been completely shut down. "We don't have any internet, we don't have any kind of signals on our phones, and we've become totally isolated in the territory." You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The following is the part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with President Raisi and his cabinet on August 30, 2023, on the occasion of Government Week. If we keep God's satisfaction in mind, we will be careful to employ the person who is suitable for the position, not someone who is merely our friend and not deserving of the role. This is one of the characteristics of seeking God's satisfaction. That's how the late Martyr Rajai and the late Martyr Bahonar were. Their goal was truly gaining God's satisfaction. I knew them personally for many years and witnessed their conduct. Government Week is adorned with their names. This became the guiding principle and figuratively the flag on which the name of this administration is written. You need to keep this in mind. Regarding the issues that I will be discussing with you today, I have divided them into two parts.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
During the first part, I will briefly give you my opinion and judgment about the administration. In the second part, I want to remind you about a few matters that you need to pay attention to. As for my judgments, well, over the past 30 or so years, I have supported all the various administrations with different orientations and abilities, and the reason for that is obvious. The situation of the country and the goals we have set for ourselves in the Islamic Republic require everyone help the executive branch, which is working in the middle of the field. The leader should help it. The people should help it, and our intellectuals and influential figures should help it. That's how it is. All of the administrations deserve this comprehensive support, and we have helped all administrations. However, considering what I have seen during these past 2 years regarding this administration, in addition to giving my support, I would also like to praise this administration. What we have seen from this administration's performance during these 2 years that it has been in office warrants our appreciation and our praise. The administration has performed well and powerfully in some sectors, which are important sectors as well. I will briefly mention a few things about this. The reason I am saying these is because the administration has unfortunately not been articulate in telling others about the things it has accomplished. Some good things have taken place that have not been conveyed to people in the way it deserves to be.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
the supplication on Wednesdays.